How many of you have had or have a person that you would call your best friend? Let's see, hands. You call, as when I was growing up, say, my bosom buddy. Someone that you know, that you know, that you know is your best friend. Okay, thank you very much. Now, if I were to ask you, and I'm not asking you, there are some qualities, there are some characteristics in their lives that have made them your best friend, that have endeared them to you and you to them. Some special characteristics. And so that's why you call them your friend. That's why you call them your best friend. But when I look at the Word of God, there is one man in the Bible who is referred to as the friend of God. As the friend of God. His name is Abraham. And I believe that there are some special characteristics in his life that caused him to be called that. That caused him to develop such an intimate relationship with God that he's known as the friend of God. How many of you would like to be known as a friend of God? Yeah, I would. I have that intimate relationship with him. And God wants that. God wants, whether you are a young Christian or an old Christian, God wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. And Abraham had certain characteristics in his life. And if you would begin to follow his life from Genesis chapter 12, all the way up to when he died, you will see these characteristics. But all these characteristics that I'm talking about that made Abraham, I believe, a friend of God, culminates in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. And I want to run through them very quickly with you. The Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Think about this. Abraham loved his son. As a matter of fact, verse 2 tells us that. God said, Abraham, I want you to give me the son whom you love. And as you read chapter 22, Abraham did not hesitate. Abraham did not blink an eye. Abraham did exactly as God told him. And I believe Abraham did that because he loved God. And even though this passage says that he loved his son, Abraham loved God even more. When you and I love God, we will give him our best. We will give him the dearest thing that we cherish in this world. We will give God that which we prize and cherish the most. And the thing that Abraham cherished the most was that boy. Was that boy. And I believe because of that, he has such a love for God that it endeared him to God. He was called the friend of God. Do you love God that much? Do I love God that much that I will give him my best? That I would give him the dearest thing to me? That I would give him my all? Because you see, even though he had another son, Ishmael, Abraham's posterity in terms of the promise was wrapped up in this boy called Isaac. But yet, as you go through the passage, he was willing to give God it. Why? Because he loved him. He loved Isaac, but he loved God more. It's a second word in here. And again, this is the first time, incidentally, the word love is used in the scriptures in this text. The second word I want to draw your attention to is the word obey. Not only did Abraham love God, he obeyed God. Note what it says in verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Skip down to verse 18. And in thy seed, God is speaking now to Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. In between there, God says, give me your son. Abraham gets up early in the morning. I don't know what type of sleep he had. If it was me, I would not have slept at all. I would have been a wretch. But the Bible does not indicate what state Abraham was in, but he gets up. He packs the wood, get the fire, everything that he needs. And he goes up into the land of Moriah and goes to the mountain where God tells him to offer up his son. And he does it. You read through the passage that Abraham, verse 10, stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou not withhold thine only son, or thy son, thine only son from me. Abraham loved God so much. Abraham was willing to obey God. God has said a lot of things to you and I. We have a lot of commandments, a lot of things that he wants us to do. Are we willing to obey God no matter what the cost? All of us here this evening, all of us who profess to know Christ as Savior, young or old, if you and I want to have an intimate relationship with him, we need to love God above everyone else. We need to obey God no matter what he asks us to do. God has not asked you to offer up your son or daughter as a sacrifice, have you? So everything else should be real easy, right? Obey God. And then verse 5. Another word that appears for the first time in the Bible. Even though the actions have been done. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Worship. Let me ask you, are you a worshiper of God? The word worship here means have the idea of to do obeisance. It means to bow down, kiss the hand or the feet of someone who is superior. Do you spend time worshiping the God whom Solomon says the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain him? Not just when you come here, but when you get up in the morning, as you go through the day, are you in awe of God? Am I in awe of him? Abraham, I believe, developed an intimate relationship with God because he loved God, because he obeyed God, but also because he spent time in worship. You go from Genesis chapter 12 and follow the track of Abraham. Follow his footsteps. In every place that you follow him, you see an altar. There is an altar. Do you have an altar where you spend time with God? As a young person, do you set aside time to get into the presence of God and just tell him how beautiful he is, how wonderful he is? As an adult, I believe that's why Abraham came to be known as a friend of God. He developed an intimate relationship with God through worship. He built his altars. And so Abraham worshiped God, and he worshiped God through obedience. There is a fourth thing found right in verse 5. Abraham said he's going. God sent him to worship, to offer up his son. And he said that the lad and I in verse 5, we're going to go ahead and yawn and worship. And then it says, and come again to you. Wait a minute, Abraham. Aren't you going to offer up this boy? Aren't you going to kill him? What do you mean you and the lad is going to come back again? When we read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, I think it's around verse 19, the Bible says that Abraham had such tremendous faith. He believed that God was going to raise his son up again. That's faith. That's faith. Do you believe God for the impossible? Do you believe God to do things in your life? Some years ago, when our oldest boy, Jermaine, my wife and I, Bridget, when we went on to the work, we started to keep a list of answered prayers. And, you know, and every year, at the end of the year, at home at Freeport Gospel Chapel, we usually had a watch night service beginning at 10 o'clock. And before we went out, we would pause with Jermaine around 9:30, and we would go through this book that we had and showing him how God had provided for us through the year. Through the year. And one of the purposes that we, two reasons why we did it. We wanted to show him the providence of God as a provider. But we also wanted to show him that, hey, you can trust God too. You can trust God. And we had gotten away with that from the last two children. And last year we decided that we need to get back to this. And so we started doing the same thing. Watch night, we met with them and we just started sharing. And as parents, you and I need to demonstrate faith before our children to let them see. And when God answers our prayers, we need to reveal it, show it to them that this is what God does. God is a God who is faithful, and if we trust him, he will provide. And I want my children to be children of faith. You young people need to learn, hey, don't just depend on mommy and daddy to believe for you. Trust God for yourself, not only in salvation, but whatever needs you might have. Abraham became an intimate friend with God because he trusted God intimately. He relied on God. And he believed that God would raise his son up. He believed that. What about you? You want a bicycle? I mean, you could believe God for a bicycle. Or whatever your need might be. Mommy and daddy can't afford it, but you have a greater daddy, a heavenly father. And then there's a final one here that I believe that helped Abraham to develop such an intimate relationship with God that it caused him to be called a friend of God. The angel speaking in verse 12, and he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." Fear. Do you fear God? And the word that is used here is not the word terror, to be afraid of. We should be afraid of God in that sense as well. But that's not the word that is used here. The word has to do with being in awe of, to be, to keep God, to take God, or to reverence God for who he is. He is awesome. There's no God like him. Matter of fact, there is no other God. But there is an awesome respect for who he is. There's a reverence for the person of God. I think we've lost that today. But Abraham had a reverence for God that no matter what God asked for, he would give it to him. God recognized that, you know what? This man is in awe of me. He has a reverence for me. And as I was thinking about this stuff today, I said, Lord, help me to get to this point that I would love you above everything else, that I would obey you in anything you would ask me to do. Lord, help me to be a worshiper of you. Help me to live a life of faith. Even when I can't see, believe. Even when I don't understand, help me to trust you. Lord, help me to be in such reverence of you. Abraham had a covenant with God. And I believe that these five things were the five pillars which he built on to establish an intimate relationship with God. And if you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you and I are part of the covenant of grace. And I believe that these pillars should be in our lives as well. This should reflect our desire to walk with a holy God and have an intimate relationship with Him. Abraham loved God. He obeyed God. He worshiped God. He had faith in God. And he feared God. And because of that, he is called the friend of God. Let's pray. Father, even as Christians, sometimes we think that you are way out there. And you are way out there, but yes, you are here. You are everywhere present. And your heart's desire is that we have an intimate relationship with you. That's why you sent your son. That's why he came. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Father, that's an awesome thought. The children, boys and girls of all ages who have the understanding of who you are and what your son has done on their behalf, and those who are older, that we can come into a relationship with you and develop it intimately. Help us, O Lord, to love you, to obey you, to worship and have faith in you, and to fear you as Abraham of old. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, how I love Jesus.